How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am John Corrales without Jay King because today is Jay King's birthday. So he's off celebrating, taking some well-deserved time off. Happy birthday to my podcast partner out there. Whatever you're doing, have another one on me. Today we're going to have a really interesting show. I love the concept of today's show. We're going to talk about loyalty. And to do that, I'm bringing in a friend of the podcast, a friend of the network, Anthony F. Irwin from the Locked On Lakers podcast. And before we get into this, let me just mention that today's show, today's Locked On Celtics, is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. We're giving you a promo code today, LO Celtics. That's the letter L, the letter O, Celtics. You're going to get a $20 rebate on your first purchase. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But Anthony, welcome. Locked on Celtics with Locked On Lakers. This is an interesting little dynamic we got going on here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, your listeners might just turn off the radio or turn off the podcast as soon as I start talking. I swear I'm not a Lakers stan. I swear. I just happen to talk about them quite a bit on a podcast.
Well, we'll forgive you your trespasses because you're born out there. You're born into this, right? So, I mean, this is how it is. And I have respect. As much as I hate the Lakers, I do have respect. Look, if I was born out in L.A., oh, God, hold on. Let me just get that thought out of my head for a second. But, you know, that's how it goes. You're born and raised there, and you have a loyalty to your team. And that's what the topic of today's show is, loyalty, the concept of loyalty, and how we look at it as people who cover the team, as fans of the team, and then from the player and the franchise perspective. And this is a real interesting time to have you on the show because 3 years ago, both of our franchises went in separate directions with the faces of their franchise. Paul Pierce of the Boston Celtics, along with Kevin Garnett, who had assumed the leadership role as well, in 2013 was traded to the Brooklyn Nets. Now, from the Celtics fans' perspective, we saw Pierce go, crushing moment, but we got in return all of these draft picks that everybody's drooling about and a bunch of players and this tree of assets that essentially has completely reshaped the franchise and given us the Celtics team that we saw, that we're seeing right now. A month later, the Lakers went a different direction and gave Kobe Bryant $50 million over 2 years and took the franchise in a different direction. They chose this path of loyalty. They rewarded Kobe Bryant with basically a Lifetime Achievement Award and made a 35-year-old the highest paid player in the NBA for two straight years. So I want to get your take on watching what the Celtics did, watching what the Lakers did, and do you wish the Lakers had done something differently?
I guess, I mean, with any topic, there are always going to be several variables to take into account. And right now, where the Lakers currently sit, they've gotten incredibly lucky in the lottery to have kept all their picks, you know, despite the moves that they made that could have risked, you know, not having a D'Angelo Russell on the roster or not having a Brandon Ingram on the roster. So, you know, that kind of mitigates some of the risk of not having, you know, a future to rebuild with and around. But I mean, you watch what the Celtics have been able to do lately, or the last couple of years, and you guys have been in the playoffs, right? And you guys have had a competitive team that, you know, fans can get behind, and you can root for an Isaiah Thomas. You can root for a Marcus Smart, or, you know, now it's going to be his name escapes me at the moment, but your most recent pick.
Al Horford. Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. And to go with that, you have an Al Horford as well, because you were competitive, Horford, as a free agent, says, you know what, I like what they're building over there, and I actually think I can help this franchise take the next step forward. And you compare that to what the Lakers have gone through, and free agents haven't said that. We haven't had a free agent, you know, look at the culture that the Lakers have built and said, yeah, I think I can help them take that next step. And I think that's due in large part, however indirectly or directly, however somebody wants to frame it, that's due in large part to the fact that Kobe's albatross of a contract made it so hard to do anything and improve the roster elsewhere. And the basketball lately just hasn't been very much fun to watch.
Yeah. Now, last year, not only did they give him all this money, last year he went on this big farewell tour. So from my perspective, I saw a guy hijacking the season. And at the detriment of the development of the young guys, and definitely at the detriment of any sort of addition. Like, look, LaMarcus Aldridge was a free agent. That was maybe one of the worst free agent meetings that, from all reports, that we've seen. So bad that they were like, no, please give us a do-over.
Right.
Russell Westbrook is an L.A. guy. DeMar DeRozan is an L.A. guy. DeRozan didn't give the Lakers a meeting at all. Mm-hmm. Westbrook went back to the Thunder, didn't even consider a switch to the Lakers. That, I think, is directly impacted by what the Lakers did. That season last year, the Kobe farewell tour, was they just let him do whatever he wanted. And
yeah, I think that. So what hurts, it's one thing for a player to just have a farewell tour, right? And have that be one of many aspects to a season, or one of many storylines in a season. But the entire organization bought into this thing. There was no other storyline that came anywhere near, you know, Kobe's impending retirement at the end of the season. And, you know, when you have a coach like Byron Scott, who was hired to handle that farewell season, and his top priority, as he said, and as others from the organization have said, his top priority, you know, throughout the year was just make sure Kobe gets his shots up, make sure he's healthy by the end of the year, and you know, everything else be damned. And that hurts, you know, not only from a standpoint of, you know, did Russell grow as much as he should have in his rookie season, or did Julius Randle grow as much as you'd like to see him grow? But, you know, on the court, that kind of thing hurts already. But if you're looking to trade those guys, the Lakers have no idea what their value might be. And that's, that's directly a result of the way the team was managed and coached. From the top down, from the front office down to Byron Scott, it was something of a disaster. If you're paying attention to anything besides, you know, ending Kobe's career on a high note.
But from a fan's perspective, because you're looking at this very rationally, from a fan's perspective, the fans just blindly love the team, which is great. You and I and others like us have developed this sense of rational thought with a nice tinge of our team colors mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but from a fan's perspective, what sense did you get? Did they appreciate the team's loyalty to Kobe? Is that year, like, you and I look at this as definitely kind of a lost year for them, but do the fans see it that way? Do they appreciate the team's loyalty to Kobe?
I'll say this. We would look at the year completely differently had it not ended on that 60-point effort that Kobe somehow, you know, miraculously pulled out of nowhere. If that doesn't happen, I think the fans have a really gross taste in their mouth you know, walking away from that season. But, you know, as it turned out, Kobe does have, you know, that 60-point game. And I'll say this, since I started covering the team, I've gotten away from being a fan. I act the fan on Twitter, and people seem to enjoy that. But for the most part, I try to stay as unbiased as I possibly can. But during that 60-point game, I was rooting like a 14-year-old child. I was up, you know, give him another shot, shoot it again, Kobe, shoot it again, Kobe. When that final shot went through the net, and you know, we had to ignore the complete shove off of Gordon Hayward that he had right before then. You know, you couldn't help but, you know, get up, and my dog was jumping, my wife was jumping up in the air. It was a really cool moment from a purely fan standpoint. And of all the incredible achievements of Kobe's career, he actually got Kanye West to smile on camera.
So, that's a big one.
So I think that winds up being at the top of his resume as he gives his Hall of Fame speech in 5 years. So I think from that, you know, from if you're just looking at it from, you know, from completely as a fan, yeah, that was cool to see. But that's it due in large part to that last game.
Let me just take a moment here to say this. The fans who went to that last game paid a lot of money,
yes,
to get tickets for that game. Now, there are ways for people to get tickets, and I know that some of those people went through some we'll say maybe some shady places to get them, or however they got them. But I'll say this, that buying tickets for online sports and concerts it's been a confusing process for a long time. It's hard to find the best deal for a game or a show you want to go to. But now, if that farewell had happened this year, people could use the SeatGeek app, because SeatGeek has created an amazing app and a website that makes things easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. Basically, you could just go, and I downloaded this app. And the cool thing is that you can use this for anything. I've decided that I want to go to Celtics Sixers on a Saturday in December. So I was poking around searching for tickets. It lets me sign up for this a price match, so I can see when the best deals are out there. It gives me like a little snapshot of the seat of where I'm sitting, so I can get a look at that. And I think that something like the SeatGeek app has made things so much easier for fans to download and buy these tickets and know what they're getting. You can get the deal score or rating on every ticket from 1 to 100 to let you know what kind of bang for the buck you're getting. And on top of it all, we're giving you a $20 rebate on your first purchase through SeatGeek. So just download the SeatGeek app, go into the settings, it'll have you enter a promo code. You can enter LO Celtics. That's L, the letter O for Locked On, LO Celtics. You buy yourself your first set of tickets wherever it is, at home, on the road, and you'll get $20 back from SeatGeek afterwards. So, like I said, I've just started to use it. It's a great way to, especially now, because you can sign up for price alerts. And if you don't want to buy the ticket just yet, you can wait to see if it's going to go up or down, and it's definitely something that's worth the downloading as you plan out this season. Tickets are about to start going on sale, so these things are going to hit the market pretty fast. So again, Locked On, the promo is LO Celtics, $20 back on your first purchase from SeatGeek through the app. Okay, so
actually, I guess I can add to the promo, but I'm actually going to be in Boston when the Lakers play the Celtics out there.
Oh, nice.
I actually promised a buddy that I would go out there to Boston. He moved out there a few years ago. So I'll be out there, and you can guarantee I'll be using SeatGeek to buy those tickets.
Nice. Nice. There's nothing that says you can't use the promo code for your first purchase either.
No. Other than my phone being allergic to anything Celtics.
Fine. You can use your own promo code, whatever. Okay, back to the discussion here. So we talked a little bit before we started the show, and there's this whole thing here. loyalty itself. Mm-hmm. And I love this because from a fan's perspective, look, I was born and raised in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, which is right on the Massachusetts border, like 30 miles from Boston. Went to school in Boston. I'm a Boston guy. I mean, everything Boston sports, I bleed Boston sports. You're an LA guy. You know what it's like to just, you grow up in an area, and over the course of time, players come and go. You just live and die like the Seinfeld line. You're just rooting for laundry.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens and the people running the Celtics and Mitch Kupchak and, you know, everybody on the Lakers side, their loyalty is to themselves, to the team, or it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where now Danny Ainge, when he traded Paul Pierce, saw an opportunity, kind of let it go out there that this run was over for Boston, and he could have given Paul Pierce a Lifetime Achievement Award, and fans in Boston would have been fine with it, mostly. But he decided that his loyalty was to essentially creating the best team possible. That is his job.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get your take on, like, fans will sit there and say, like you had mentioned before, if Kobe decided to leave, or actually Kobe was, he had asked for a trade.
Yeah,
he might have been posturing, but he asked for a trade. And if he left, people would have been stabbing. Look, Ray Allen left Boston, and Jesus, man, people hate him now. There's no loyalty. That's the thing. Traitor, all of that stuff. But fans will also be the first people to say, well, he sucks. You got to trade him.
Right. Well, the thing with loyalty is it tends to be one-sided, and it's almost never in the player's favor to be, you know, it's never beneficial to the player to be loyal. You know, the player will need to give some kind of hometown discount, you know, that kind of thing. That's become a thing. If like Kevin Durant right now was seen as a complete villain because he went to a more desirable workspace and in a situation where he's almost, you know, he has as good a chance at winning a title as he'll ever have in his career. And now he's seen in this, he's painted in a way that I don't think even he anticipated when he made that decision. But yeah, and not only will a fan, you know, hypothetically trade a player as soon as their field goal percentage drops, you know, below where they'd like to see it, or the injuries start to pile up, but these teams will, you know, trade a guy away as soon as they, you know, it's beneficial to them. They won't sign somebody back if the rate goes above a certain number that they aren't comfortable with. And that's even in this current NBA that is as profitable as we've ever seen it. And yet it's always the player who takes the PR hit when they do leave. And you know, I guess consistency is pretty hard to come by in any forum, especially in the sports forum. But I wish we could just kind of take a quick second before we start judging a player for looking for a better spot for himself and for his family or for, you know, for his bank account, whatever it might be, and say, yeah, I think he did right by himself, and it's perfectly within his own right. It was a bargain chip. Free agency was something that Jerry West and Oscar Robertson and all those guys had to actually bargain for and go on strike to get. So they should, you know, players should be able to use that bargaining chip as best they can without as much backlash as they take.
Yeah, and that's there's definitely a backlash. Excuse me. And I don't want to make this sound like, you know, fans can have whatever opinion they want. That's mm-hmm. fine. But I think the goal of examining loyalty is to just kind of open up people to another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've played basketball for a significant portion of my life. I see things a lot from a player's perspective. And when you are out there, you come into the league at 19. If you're lucky, you got 5 or 6 years in the league. And then you move, that's it. Your career is over. a really good player, and the ones that we're talking about here where loyalty comes into play, you've got, if you start at 19 and you're done at, say, 36, so you've got 17 years to make all of the money you're probably going to make for a long time, you know, that you have some decisions to make. Now, you may not be from the area that you're playing. Paul Pierce was an LA guy playing in Boston. So no one would have begrudged him in the sports world if he left Boston when he had an opportunity to go back home or whatever. People in Washington were waiting for Kevin Durant to go back home. But in the end, I see these guys as people who do a job. And their job happens to be entertaining us through the medium of basketball, but they're still doing a job. Mm-hmm. They wake up in the morning, they go to work, and they do a lot of work. They get their lift in, they go through drills, they go through practice, individual shooting, they go do team sponsored whatever events, charity work. They do all of this stuff, and they have earned the right, like you said, to be free agents. And Kevin Durant, if this is just some guy named Kevin who's really, really good at his job in Oklahoma City, but a bigger firm with better people in San Francisco said, hey, why don't you come work for us? Yeah, I'd love to go live in San Francisco. I love San Francisco. The Bay Area is gorgeous. You're going to give me a lot of money, and I get to work with people who I like to work with, in a place where I know that we're going to succeed a lot more than maybe we're going to succeed here for various reasons. If that's just Kevin doing that in an insurance company, or Kevin just whatever industry, no one cares. But because it's Kevin Durant who made a personal decision to go play for another team that just happened to be super dominant as it is, people are freaking out. Now, part of it is because he's now created this like mega super team, not even a super team. Now, I wonder if he had gone to like the Blazers or the Celtics or whatever, any other team, do you think the backlash would have been as big if he went to a team other than Golden State?
I think that the issue that I've noticed most, because I don't have any issue with him going to Golden State at all. I think the purpose, if you're just saying simply, the purpose of playing basketball or playing any sport is to win, and he went to a team that gives him the best opportunity to win, then he made the right choice. But I think the thing that I noticed people got hung up on more than anything was that he had just lost to Golden State. They had just eliminated his team in a very close series that could have gone either way at any moment. And you know, the thinking might be, well, it would have been nice to see him go back to OKC, give it one more shot. He and Russell Westbrook would have been under contract for the same 1 year and been free agents next year, and give it one more shot next year and see what they can do. So yeah, going to the team that beat him, I think, irked people more than anything. But I just think leaving a city like Oklahoma City that was so invested, that was the only professional team that they've had at the actual absolute level. They have, you know, a minor league baseball team there. But you know, leaving Oklahoma City that felt like a family to a lot of people, no matter where he went, I think there was going to be some backlash. Just there was more because he went to the team that just beat him.
No, that's a good point. But I think the OKC example is really a great one because it's such a small – I might be the smallest market in the NBA. I could be wrong, but
– Sounds about right.
It's if it's not the smallest, it's like bottom three, somewhere in there, in that mm-hmm. range. It's the only game in town. And again, from a fan's perspective, you pour a lot of your emotion. And this is for – the average everyday NBA fan. I know how it is. You work all day. You're busting your ass in a job that you might not like, or you at least tolerate. You look at your paycheck and you say, where is all my money going? Look at all this I'm paying in taxes. Go home and something broke in your house and now you got to run to Home Depot and get a new toilet or get a new this or get a new that. I have been there. And the escape that you have, and especially now with social media, because we can kind of be alone but watch games together anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The escape you have is turning on a game at 7:30 at night and immersing yourself and feeling like you're part of this. You are. Like, we had a promo campaign in here, I am a Celtic. And each time you go in there and you get to the TD Garden once or twice a year and you yell and scream until you're hoarse and you get drunk and you have all this time, fun. Like, the same thing with the Lakers at Staples. You just feel like this emotion. You pour your emotions into this. It is your escape. This is your passion. And you look at that and you wish you could do it. I would do that for nothing, people say. Except from a player's perspective, that's all great and they appreciate all that stuff. But they aren't doing it for nothing. They're doing it for their livelihood. And if the Lakers didn't trade for Kobe on draft night, and if the Celtics didn't take Paul Pierce, if he didn't fall to them in the draft, they would have been somewhere else. And if the situation were reversed and Kobe, what if the Celtics traded for Kobe? And what if the Lakers got Paul Pierce, hometown guy? You'd hate Kobe and we'd hate Paul Pierce. And that's just how it goes. That's just the luck of the draw. These guys end up in these cities and we just immediately latch onto them. We lavish our loyalty on them, but it's not a two-way street. They don't have that emotional connection because they know that they could be traded at any time. They could be cut. They could be not re-signed or whatever. They know that Mitch Kupchak could say, hey, D'Angelo, this is great, but you know, we want Chris Dunn, and we think that this is a deal that works for us, so have fun in Minnesota. Like, mm-hmm. that could happen. So yep. It should be easy to see why some guys may not have that same level of commitment to your city that you grew up in, that you love.
Well, I would take it a step back. You mentioned how the guys don't do it for nothing, right? And not only do they not do it for nothing, but they generate so much revenue. And what often gets or goes unnoticed in these kinds of situations, these kinds of discussions, when fans get angry about players not being loyal, is how much money owners rake in, you know, at the expense of some of these guys, you know, sacrifice, physical sacrifice, whatever it takes to be a successful NBA player. And, you know, I found it, you know, a little funny, a little ironic that, you know, people in Oklahoma City were clamoring about Kevin Durant's lack of loyalty when that entire franchise left Seattle. So,
right.
So you're talking about, you're saying, oh, how dare Kevin Durant not be loyal to his fan base? But the ownership group moved an entire franchise away from a great NBA city in Seattle, by the way. You know, you see those fans that go to Seattle Seahawks games. They were just as good for their Sonics as they are for every other successful team that they support. I guess, you know, if it, my big thing, and I'm always going to come back to this, is just be consistent. You know, if you're gonna criticize Kevin Durant for not being loyal to whatever franchise he leaves, you should also, you know, spend some time thinking about the front office that let him leave, right? Or the front office that traded away James Harden and made the situation or the culture that Durant was playing in just a little less intriguing moving forward. I mean, I don't think Kevin Durant makes that decision to leave if James Harden, and then right before he left, Serge Ibaka hadn't been traded away. You know, and if you have that entire core moving forward, I don't see how Kevin leaves that. But they were moved, and it was for highly financial reasons. And if I'm Durant, I'm saying, well, I'm going to go to a team that I know is going to pay for whatever it takes to be successful. And again, I just can't find it in myself to criticize the move that he made for doing so.
So I think as we wrap up the show, just the summation of all of this is fans are, I love that fans are passionate about their cities and the teams that play there.
We wouldn't have our show without the passionate fans.
No. And look, that's how we all got started. We took these weird paths, you and I, to, you know, you start as a fan and you decide you want to blog and talk about it. And we grow in our roles trying to cover our teams and tell everybody the truth about what we see as we see it. And of course, you're a Lakers fan. I'm a Celtics fan. I genuinely want my Celtics to do well. You genuinely want your Lakers to do well. So some of our analysis has that tinge of our homerism, let's say. Mm-hmm. But we have, I think, taken a step, an evolutionary step in our fandom where we have to consider other things. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Celtics fan, but I'm different now. But I get it. I know what it's like to wake up and pay that extra money to get to a game. And, you know, you get one or two games a year that you might be able to go to. And you're just so you want to block everything else out in the world because your reality can be tough sometimes. This is fantasy. And you just wish that they could appreciate things from your perspective, which I totally get. But again, players have to understand that they are operating in a business, and Danny Ainge and Mitch Kupchak could call each other up, and all of a sudden our favorite guys could be playing for their other team. And we got to look at it and be like, oh God, I can't believe this guy's playing for the Lakers. You'd be like, Jesus, man, I love this guy. He's playing for the Celtics now. Like, now yeah. I got to hate him.
And, well, like right now, Lakers fans have to watch Pau Gasol play for the Spurs this upcoming year, and it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
Looking him in that uniform is going to be just – it's not going to be a fun season watching that happen.
No. And now fans will sit there and say, I got to hate him now. I can't root for him. I can't cheer for him. It's ugh. But then you could turn around and say, hey, where's your loyalty? Where's
yep.
your loyalty to this guy? Delivered you rings, man. Rings with Z's.
With Z's.
There for that.
Uh-huh.
And look, and Mitch Kupchak, Danny Ainge, their loyalty is to keeping their jobs and
yes.
creating, especially with the Celtics and the Lakers, the two most successful franchises in the sport. We got like half the championships ever. It's just that these two franchises, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We're pretty spoiled.
They got a lot of pressure on them. We, as fans, we expect... The Lakers fans, they expect a title soon. Get something soon. All right, we get it. Kobe did whatever. Now it's time to get our titles back. Celtics are sitting here like, okay, this looks good. This is nice, but we're, you know, we got to get past Cleveland where we want our rings too. So, yeah, they have to do what they got to do. And if that means trading somebody that you love, then they got to do it. And there's no loyalty to that other than to making the team the best it can be. So I'm hoping that this conversation just at least opened people's eyes to some different perspective. And maybe, you know, look, you can hate a guy for leaving. I'm not going to tell you that's wrong to do, but maybe if you look at it from a different perspective, you can understand it a little bit better. That's all.
Yeah. And that's all we can do. That's all that, you know, hopefully people who listen to the podcast have do so with an open mind and just say to themselves, all right, well, maybe moving forward, I'll think of this situation in a different way. And if you do so, then a Laker fan and a Celtics fan talking for a half hour, was it all for naught?
You are too rational to be a Lakers fan. This doesn't make sense. I thought you guys were all crazy, and I don't know.
Well, there's still I'll still have my moments out there. Like I just for example just saw somebody tweet that Kobe is not even close to top 10, and I I can't even help myself. I'm ready to get on a Twitter beef right now with I forget who tweeted that out, but that's happening tonight. Look for it.
There you go. What, for people who don't know, can you tell them what your Twitter handle is?
I am at Anthony Irwin LA, and I am Ian Harrison Fagan at HM Fagan. host the Locked On Lakers show on this network, and it's been a blast. This whole network uses a lot of really talented people. David Locke put it together, and being on this thing has been really cool.
Yeah, it's this network. When we were approached to join this, it was in its infancy, and like I get emails every other day. Oh, we got these two shows now, and these two shows now, and all these people, and you just see the talent that's being added. It's amazing. So I know that the people listening, the Celtics fans who are listening, may not listen to all of your shows, but hey, when we go out west or when the Lakers come out to Boston, you got to take a minute and listen to these guys because they do a great job and are really one of the cornerstone podcasts of this network. And we got some great podcasts on this. We got a fantasy podcast mm-hmm. that's out there. That's awesome. We've got football, like the NFL side of this is catching up to the NBA side. I know we've got Locked On Patriots for people to listen to. Any Boston fans who are listening who want to listen to also Patriots fans, that season's about to start. You got to check out Locked On Patriots. Just search for that wherever it is, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever it is. Definitely check that out. Locked On NBA, obviously David Locke hosts that show. General overview of the league. That's good to listen to just to kind of get a sense of what's going on in the league so you can kind of, you know, be smart at work and impress your friends. So, you know, look.
That's what this is all for.
That's it. We come up with the thoughts and you just regurgitate them and everybody's like, wow, you're a smart NBA fan.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
All right, Anthony. Look, when you come out to Boston, let's see if we can hook up because that would be fun.
Absolutely.
I enjoy meeting rational Lakers fans.
I do the same with I didn't know Boston fans were capable of productive conversation, but here we are. You know?
You son of a bitch.
That's what we're here for. All right, well this was a lot of fun, John, and yeah. Best of luck moving forward, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation about how much better than Jaylen Brown, Brandon Ingram.
Yes, everybody go check him out on Twitter. Check out the Locked On Lakers podcast. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast brought to you by SeatGeek. Remember, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings page, enter the promo code LOCELTICS. You will get a $20 rebate on your first purchase. It's very simple. You just go make your first ticket purchase. And you can sign up for, I mean, it's very mobile friendly. You can sign up for the deal score. You can sign up for alerts. And you just go buy your tickets, and they will send you $20 back. So download the SeatGeek app. It's very easy to use. And enter the promo code LOCELTICS for a rebate of $20 on your first purchase. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.